I had friends that went to the Vietnam War, and in the Vietnam War, they would fight and they would bleed and they would die to take a hill over there in Vietnam, literally, take a hill and charge the hill. And the commanders would say, charge that hill, take that hill at any cost. And then the globalists would influence the Congress and the military-industrial complex at the time, the deep state today. They would then vote and say, oh, you got to give up that territory. You took that territory. Men died, but you got to give it up. And so it was a political war. It kept going on like that, back and forth. Our men would fight. They would bleed. I'm talking about friends of mine. They would bleed. They would die. And then they would give it back up again. And it was a horrible thing to see happen. And you know what? I'm thinking of the Lord Jesus tonight, and he says in the Word of God that we're to march on the gates of hell, and if we march on the gates of hell, they will not prevail against us. The Lord also said, he said these words, he said, occupy till I come. And over in Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul recognized that we're not just fighting when we go out with the gospel and talk to people about their salvation. We're not just fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting Satan's army. So Paul said this, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And you know, what I have noticed around this area, there are statues of Mary. How many have seen statues of Mary? And you think, well, they're just harmless. They're just statues of Mary. I mean, people are just deceived. But it's more than that. John R. Rice, in the 1950s, got off an airplane in Avoca Airport. And he said, I feel Satan in this area. Now, I realize that Satan is all over, but he has certain strongholds, and he said, I feel Satan in this area. I remember my father used to come out to visit me, and he'd say, I feel a power of darkness over this area. And I want to say something. I believe these idols and these Catholic churches are used by Satan as a Jericho wall around and to provide walls of resistance to the true gospel. And you say, well, where do you get that? 1 Corinthians 10:19-20. I'm going to read it to you. Here's what it says. Paul says, what say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to what? Devils, and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. In other words, yeah, it's just an idol. It's just made out of matter, material. But behind those idols are devils. And those devils are dealing with and in control of our area. So if Satan and his spirit armies control our region here in northeastern Pennsylvania, how can we break through and defeat the walls of Jericho set up by Satan, the spirit walls of Jericho? I had a man that influenced me greatly. He was the president of the Association of Baptists for World Evangelism, Dr. Wendell Kempton. He had dealt with missionaries all over the world. And in Scranton, he said, Scranton, Pennsylvania is a hard nut to crack. Scranton, PA is a hard nut to crack. But can I say something tonight? You and I need to break through in Scranton, Pennsylvania. We need to take ground back from Satan in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And we don't need to take the ground and give it up again. So many Christians do that. By the way, you give things up at camp, don't give it back again. You get the stuff. I said it Saturday morning that there was a guy, and you've heard me say it. He came to prayer meeting each week, and he said, Lord, fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me with thy Holy Spirit. I emptied myself of all my sin. Now fill me with thy Holy Spirit. And he kept praying that week after week. Finally, his wife stood up, and she said, Lord, don't do it. He leaks. And you know, that's what we're talking about here. Getting filled with the Holy Spirit, but then letting it leak out again. And that's what we don't need. And so I'm saying that they gave up ground, and we need to take ground and then not to give that ground up for God. And we need to take our Jerusalem. Our Jerusalem is from Tunkhannock, Pennsylvania to Moscow. It's from Carbondale to Wilkes-Barre. Sometimes people say to me, oh, we need to start a church in Carbondale. No, you need to go beyond Carbondale. Carbondale's for this church. Just take it. Take Carbondale. Take Tunkhannock. Take it and fill this place. And that's what the early church did. They filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. Do you know that church grew from hundreds to thousands? And some believe it was 10,000, some 25,000. I don't know the number for sure because it's disputed, but it was a great church. Now, there are a lot of great big churches today that are great and big because of what? Compromise. And they get big and they're just big because of compromise. And then Baptists say, well, I'm content just to be small. I'm content just to reach a few. I'm not tonight. Amen. I am not one of those Baptists tonight. I don't believe that tonight. I believe that you can build a great church without compromise. In fact, you don't build it. Christ builds it. He said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We see giants in our land. We see Satan all around us, but they're no match for Jesus. He's a giant killer. He's the son of David, the greater son of David, and David killed Goliath. And I'm saying tonight, my message to you tonight is you can gain ground and hold it with the gospel. You can get Scranton and you can get our Jerusalem with the gospel. And don't let anybody tell you you can't do it, beloved. You can do it. And you might say, well, Pastor, that sounds all well and good, but when I've been out there plowing the ground in Scranton, when I've been out there on bus ministry, or when I've been out there on soul winning, it's not so easy. And it's planting the ground, and it's really tough sledding. And you want me to say something? You're right. I understand it, because I'm not just preaching from an ivory tower. I've been out there. But what does Ephesians say? Here's what the Apostle Paul said: praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And what? For me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Can I say something? We are not living in the dispensation to reoffer the mediatorial kingdom like they did to the Jewish people, and they rejected it. And the apostles offered it. That kingdom was rejected. We are not called to march upon the gates of hell and cast out devils and to do the miracles of the sign gifts and to speak in tongues. No, that's not what we're called to do. We're called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ clearly and boldly. That will cast out Satan. That will cast out mighty powers. I'm talking about the gospel. You say, what are you talking about? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And this is the work of God, that you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need the power of God for that belief. And that true belief on Christ changes everything. You say, well, that's easy believism. No, that's just believism. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and you'll be justified. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be sanctified in Christ Jesus, and now the Holy Spirit will go to work in your life to cast out sin in your life, and so on and so forth. And I'm just saying to you that the gospel is what is needed, but listen to me, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, when I preach the gospel, I don't want to preach it in letter, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of what? Power. That's what we need today. Yeah. We need the Lord working with us. Thank God for our visitation, but we need God to visit us. Amen. We need God to show up in our services. We need God to show up in our soul winning. We need God to show up, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And so tonight, you can gain ground with the gospel and with the power of God. And that's my message. And I want to just say three things about that tonight. You can gain ground with the gospel, first of all, by the Lord's promise for it. What's his promise? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, who made that promise? Our Lord Jesus Christ. But what did he say? He said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost, Rob, has come upon you. Rob, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you're going to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. And last I checked out, it happened. Read the book of Acts. This is not the book of the Acts of the Apostles merely. That's the name of it. But if you read the book of Acts, you'll know, and it's very clear, that it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. That's why Jesus said, it's better that I go away. Because when I'm with you, the Holy Spirit is not in you and working through you like he's going to. But when he comes, he's going to do that. And so he says, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I'm talking about an endowment of Holy Ghost power in answer to the prayers of God's people that are committed to the priority of the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. And we've got too many Christians today, by the way. You have not because you ask not, and you ask and receive not because you don't ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill the Great Commission, because we're not committed to the priority of the Great Commission. And we need to get to the altar and get right with God. I said we need to get to the altar and get right with God. Our priorities are wrong. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I get involved with globalism and politics and all these things, but my priority is to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, get them baptized, and then teach them to do that, and to do what God, and to have an army of God that marches on the gates of hell. And so that is what we need, to get a hold of the Lord's promise of power to be witnesses to him. And the end time church age harvest started with a revival seekers prayer meeting in an upper room in the city of Jerusalem. In 2016, I went to the city of Jerusalem. I saw an upper room like that where they met. They met for 10 days and they prayed until the Holy Spirit came down from heaven and filled them, and they marched on the hardest nut to crack in the world. You know what that was? The city that crucified Jesus Christ. Hey, I've tried to witness in Jerusalem. It is not easy. Let me tell you. You need the power of God. And they prayed for the power of God, and thousands were saved. The priests were saved. People got saved. You say, well, the Catholic middle class will never get saved. We'll never see that breakthrough. Well, God couldn't do mighty works in Nazareth because of their unbelief. My friend, it's time for us to get our eyes off ourselves. It's time for us to believe God. You say, Pastor, what are you doing tonight? I'm saying where there is no vision, the people perish. People will die and go to hell if preachers don't have vision. I am here tonight to say to you, I don't believe giants need to take this land. I don't believe it. I don't believe our church needs to be like we are. We should be filled and overflowing with people that are saved. We want to get back to the way it was. And what's the promise? And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about an endowment of power. And they had that from the time of Pentecost on. Now, I know what C.I. Schofield says. You know what C.I. Schofield says. But the last I checked out, how many of you have ever seen a C.I. Schofield Bible? Nobody's raising their hand. You're starting to scare me. In the C.I. Schofield Bible, well, maybe that's because I preach like this. In the C.I. Schofield Bible, you have the notes, and people thought the notes were inspired. And you know what Schofield said? He was a Presbyterian, and he said this. He said, and you know the Presbyterians, you know what it says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's for the Presbyterians. But anyway, in the Bible it says, in his notes, not the actual Bible, his notes, he said, now that promise was fulfilled. And on the day of Pentecost, when they prayed for the Holy Spirit, the promise in Luke 11 was fulfilled. And we'll get to that later on. But it's a promise to pray for the Holy Spirit. To pray for, and he said, that's fulfilled. So we don't have to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because that promise is fulfilled. Now, let me just say something to you. We don't have to pray for the Holy Spirit to come down from heaven again. He's here. He's in our heart. But something we see in the book of Acts is they kept praying for the power of the Holy Spirit. They kept praying for that. And it was a repeated event, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And so he says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. If we're going to gain ground for the gospel and we're going to hold it, if we're going to take Satan out, we need to do what the early churches in America did. When they lacked power, when they lacked authority, when they lacked the ability to march on the gates of hell and knock them down, they got with God, they prayed, and they fasted, and God blessed them. You remember what Jesus said during the days of the mediatorial kingdom when they had the sign gifts. He said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. When's the last time you have prayed and fasted for the power of the Holy Spirit like Jack Hiles did? And I'm sick and tired of people criticizing Jack Hiles and attacking Jack Hiles that he's dead and lying up one side and down the other about Jack Hiles. You know why the devil doesn't like people like that? Because the devil does not like the power of God. The devil does not like it when we march on the gates of hell, and he will attack anybody that dares to step out of line and dares to challenge Satan and his authority. My friend, he's a defeated foe. He cannot resist us. The Bible said, resist the devil and he will do what? Flee from you! I'm telling you, the Bible says, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. It's time that we have a vision for what God is and what God can do. And our Lord and our Savior said that he died and rose again, and that when we march on the gates of hell, people will get saved. They'll get baptized. Their lives will be changed. And we need to do it in the power, listen to me, of the Holy Spirit. Let me say it again. And ye shall receive what? Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. And people have said, Pastor, you've been praying for revival for 52 years, man. You're something else. You've been praying. I say, no, I'm really not something else. You know what? I think we've hindered revival. We've hindered revival. And we could have had it earlier and faster, but we leak too often. We leak too often. And tonight we need to get serious about gaining and taking and holding ground in Scranton, Pennsylvania, our Jerusalem. And what happened to the Jerusalem church? They did receive power. They did have a great church. And that church became a great soul-winning church. But they refused to be a missionary church. So he let a Pharisee by the name of Saul of Tarsus attack them and hurt them and scatter them. And they went out everywhere they went. They went preaching the gospel. People were getting saved. And another great church started in Antioch. And then that church prayed and fasted. And the Holy Ghost moved there. And Apostle Paul went out and Barnabas went out and planted the Ephesian church. That became a great church. And then the Corinthian church and so forth and so on. And what I'm saying to you is that God means for us to be empowered with the Holy Spirit as we go out and give the gospel. And you can gain ground and hold it by the Lord's promise for it. But don't listen to C.I. Schofield when he says, don't pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Don't pray for the endowment of power. I'm not talking about a repetition of Pentecost, but a like thing where they prayed for the power of God. You see it again in Acts 4. What happened? They got persecuted. They got persecuted, and they went through that persecution, and in Acts 4, they got the power of God. Now, we'll talk about that in a minute. You can gain ground with the gospel by the Lord's promise for it, Acts 1:8. Number two, by the Lord's provision for it throughout the book of Acts. By the Lord's provision for it throughout the book of Acts. Now, what I see in the book of Acts is the theme of it is the progress of the gospel of Jesus Christ from Jerusalem all the way to Rome. They were always moving, beloved. They were always going forward. And that's what we need today. The greatest thing we can do for America is do what I'm preaching on tonight. Do you hear me? The greatest thing you can do for America, friend, is do what I'm preaching on tonight. And that's what we need to do. We need to build lives on solid foundations through the gospel and the power of God. We need to build churches that are doing that, my friend. And we need to move with that gospel. Life is too short. And so you can gain ground by the Lord's provision for it throughout the books of Acts. Somebody has said in Acts chapter 1, the Lord went up. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came down. In Acts chapter 3, the church went out and took ground in their Jerusalem, in their Judea, and in their Samaria, and worldwide. You see, it's the power of the Holy Spirit working through the disciples. And so they got persecuted. And in Acts 4, it says this, after they got persecuted. By the way, when you give the devil trouble, he'll give you trouble back. And that's why you'll be slandered. You say, well, how do I overcome that? Well, you overcome evil with what? Good. You don't get attacked by evil. Evil is a conspiracy to harm. It slander you, lie about you, do everything. And some Christians, all they do is they get great men of God of the past, and they spread slander about them. And they'll put it on they'll put it on your cell phone. And you know what I do? I delete the sucker right off my cell phone. I'm not hanging around your garbage. I'm not hanging around your slander. I want to get around those that are right with God. It's the same thing with God's anointed president. They indict him. They arrest him. Why is everybody attacking the real president? Because he's the real president. And why are they attacking spirit-filled men of God? Because they're the real deal. And the attack is the same. Slander, lies. Jesus committed fornication with Mary Magdalene. They said about our Lord. They said about our Lord that he committed fornication. Yeah, they'll lie about you. I've been lied about. I know what it's like to be lied about. And I'm just saying to you, friends, that the devil is a dirty fighter. And if the problem with a lot of Christians today, you're not giving the devil any trouble at all. Right. You know what? He sees you're so caught up on your flesh, he doesn't have to bother with you. And so that's what we need today. We need some men of God that'll give the devil some trouble. And this is what America needs today more than anything else, beloved. And we need to do it right here. I don't have to go somewhere else, be somewhere else. Right here, God's got to move. Right here. Now is the time. This is the place. We are the people. We are the people. And that's what God wants. And the Lord's provision is for that throughout the book of Acts. And the apostolic church got persecuted. And what did they do? When they got persecuted, why? They got persecuted because what happened? They prayed for the power of the Holy Spirit to win souls. Then they got it, and they proclaimed the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit, and what happened? People got saved. So prayer for power, power received, proclamation of the gospel, people got saved. And when those people got saved, what happened? They got baptized, they joined the church, and what happened? What was the next thing? One of the men yelled it out. Persecution. The devil attacked them. He got them in jail. He got them arrested. I mean, it was hot in Jerusalem. And when that happened, they got out of jail. God got them out of jail. And what did they do? They went right back to prayer again. Acts chapter 4, what does it say? Same thing they did on the day of Pentecost. Here's what it says. Now listen carefully. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You say, Pastor, are you speaking the word of God with boldness? Yeah, if I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. He fills you so that you can speak the word of God with boldness, because we need spirit-filled preaching. We need spirit-filled soul winning. We need to do that if we're going to march on the gates of hell. And the Holy Spirit's power is for men, women, boys, girls. It said all flesh. The Holy Spirit's power is for all flesh. And so the Lord's provision for it is throughout the book of Acts. And they went through that victory cycle that we're talking about there. And we've seen it to a degree in our church, but we need to see more of it. And I'm saying that you and I can gain ground with the gospel and hold it by the Lord's promise for it and by the Lord's provision for it throughout the book of Acts. I want one more thing to say. By the Lord's prayer for it in Luke chapter 11 and 18. Go to Luke 11. And there is a parable there in Luke 11, and he's talking about praying for this endowment of power so that you and I can see people saved and see lives changed. I don't want to have it so we don't see many mighty works done here in Scranton. Amen. I'm not despising the day of small things, but I believe in a great big God. I want to attempt great things for God. I want to expect great things from God. And I want to challenge you to do that in your life and say, Lord, make me somebody that it would be like the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit working through me. And the Lord's saying here that the Lord's prayer for the Holy Spirit is in the book of Acts. Now, notice in the book of book of Luke, who wrote Acts as well, go there to Luke chapter 11, verse 5. He says, the Lord said, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. He from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. You ever knocked on a door? Nobody came to the door. They're in there, but they'll come out. I remember Brother Steve, when they were coming to his door, knocking on his door. He was down in the basement, Brother Steve. You were smoking pot down there. And that's what they do. They know you're there, but they don't want to come out. But let me tell you, he's saying here, and this is a story. He's just telling a parable, which is a story. He's saying, in the Middle East, they used to have a big room, and the mom and dad would sleep in the middle of a big round bed. And all their kids, they may have 9 kids, would sleep all around them in the bed. And then they have the dog and the cat in there too, or whatever they have. And they're all there in the bed. And this guy's coming to the door, he's knocking. And it's midnight. How would you like somebody knocking at your door at midnight when you're trying to sleep? He's knocking at the door. And the guy is like, I am not getting out of bed. If I get out of bed, the cat's going to meow, the dog's going to bark, the kids are going to wake up. I mean, I'm going to lose it all. I got the whole family down. It was hard enough to get them down. And now you're knocking at the door. And the guy won't quit knocking, you know. And the guy's still not answering him. Finally, he's calling out and he's saying, look, I, the reason I'm knocking, neighbor, I got a friend that came to my house. And it's at midnight. I don't have anything to give him to eat. I just need some bread so I can give him something to eat. And he said, he is his friend. They're buddies. But even though he's his friend, he's not getting up. But the one thing that's going to get him up, this guy won't stop. So he figures, he's going to drive me crazy. I got to shut him up. I'll just get up. I'll just deal with it. Now listen to me. That's your relationship to God. Abraham was a friend to God. Jesus said, I called you friends. He said, but the timid are not going to get the endowment of power. I said, the timid are not going to get the endowment of power. They're not going to get what we need today in Scranton, Pennsylvania. They're not going to get what we need today in the United States of America. It's going to be those that are willing to shamelessly beg for it and to realize it's the most important need that we have. Now, I have said this before. I'll say it again. When it comes to what's going on in America politically and the globalists, there's one thing I'll not give up on. Until you admit you stole the election and give it back, I don't have anything more to deal with. I keep on harping on that one thing. You notice that? I won't quit. That is foundational. Because if you don't have election, they control you. And I won't give up on it. But just like that, what I'm talking about tonight spiritually, I won't give up on the power of the Holy Spirit and the priority of giving the gospel and the Great Commission. And that's what we need more than anything else. And is you guys heard the message about the one? Well, I'm talking tonight about the one that will get the power of God. And how will we know? You'll go out there and Christianity is not just taught, it's caught. The fire of God will, you'll bring your sheaves with you. You'll have new converts. It'll make a difference. I'm just saying that's what we need today. And you say, how long will it take? As long as it takes. But that's what we've got to do. And that's what we've got to go after. And so in Luke 11, that's what he's saying. It's because of shameless begging that God will give you the power of the Holy Spirit. And I had a little harbinger of it up there in Carbondale. You know, I talked about Carbondale to Wilkes-Barre, Tunkhannock to Moscow. And we're up there in Carbondale. And Matt's bus route is up there. And I had a guy in college. His name was Dan. I'll just say that. And he wanted to start a church in Carbondale. He looked like a real stubborn guy. I said, this guy's going to go into Carbondale. He's going to start a soul-winning church there. And you're going to see Catholic people get saved. These people in Carbondale, one time there was a group that went there to knock on doors to talk to people in Carbondale. And the Catholic priest told them, do not answer your door. When those Baptists come there and they try to give you traction, you just don't come to the door. And nobody came to the door, you know. That was years ago, but nobody came to the door. And so I said to Brother Matt, or whoever it was, Brother Alex, I think it was, Brother Alex, on Thursday night, I said, here we are up in Carbondale. I said, this place is hard. I said, this is a tough nut to crack up here. And I said, you know, we have gone to this particular housing thing and knocked on doors, and we have one guy that comes out of there that Steve and Patty led to the Lord. His name is John. I said, but everybody else, we haven't broken through. And then I said to him, you know, Jesus said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And he told me something about his commitment to pray, and I said, good. And it was like a harbinger, because I said, let's go to this M12. And I thought this M12 was just a guy that we had gone to before, and he wasn't going to listen to us. So I went there with kind of unbelief. But we knocked on the door. This guy comes to the door. He looks so familiar. And he's saying, I'm going to have a baby. You know, my girl's going to have a baby. And I'm looking at the guy, and he knew me. He just like knew me. And I'm like, how does he know me? Because I don't want to be embarrassed. Like, how do you know me? I don't know you. And I'm looking, and then I realize he's a guy that was a teenager named Joe, Jay. He prayed to receive Christ with me, and he took me to all of his friends all over here. And he used to come to this church. His name is Jay Wesner. And he introduced me to his girl, and she's pregnant, and we were talking. And you know what? They both prayed to receive Christ. And I said, you know what? I just talked to Alex about the hard nut to crack, and we need prayer and fasting. I believe that's like a harbinger of what God wants to do. And he wants to come to this church. He wants to bring her to this church. Just like this morning, there was a lady there. She knew me. Oh, Pastor, I know you. And I'm like, but who is she? But she knew me. And I'm like, but who is she? And she had this guy with her. Then I remembered when she came before. I didn't remember till later today that she came before. And we had counseled with her and gone through things with her. And she got saved. And God bringing her back. She came back here. She brought the guy with her. And she knew this is a place. And that's why they had their hands up. They came forward. And now my wife and I are going to go to visit them and counsel with them further. But all I'm saying to you, these are harbingers of a greater work of the Spirit of God that he wants to do here in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And so I believe that that promise in Luke chapter 11 is for us today, that we can break through and we can see God blessing and reaching our Jerusalem. And when we reach our Jerusalem, this building would be filled. When we reach our Jerusalem, we need two services in this building. And we need that. And then what do? You go out to your Judea and you start churches in the Northeast region here. And you start other churches. And you train men to do that. And we're going to need that. And do you have that kind of vision? Listen, you need to have that kind of vision for God, that we can see things happen that are going to be great and mighty things. And I'll just stop here. I'll end here. We prayed that God would give us a great year and that we would be a great church. You know what? I am sick and tired of people saying that little church. We have little strength, but God has all power. And with the power of God, there's no reason why we cannot reach a great number of people. But this is what's going to take: prayer for the priority of winning people to Christ, proclaiming the gospel in the power of God, seeing people get saved and baptized and going out. And then, my friend, when the persecution comes, you pray for more and stay in that victory cycle. And the Bible says, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee what? Great and mighty things. I don't want to have a good church. I don't want to have a good year. I want to have a great year. I don't want to have a good harvest. I want to have a great harvest. I want great and mighty things. You say, why do you want great and mighty things? Because it glorifies our great and almighty God. Because his grace is great. His love is great. The Bible says in revival praying that you might know the breadth of his love, the length of his love, the depth of his love, the height of his love. That's what he wants us to know. I know what our pastor used to say, our former pastor, Charles Ware. He used to say, I don't love the people of Scranton, but God loves them. And I want him to love them through me. And I remember Ralph Tolley coming to his house. He said, Pastor, I saw you there that day. And he was into his business. He was into working on cars, making money. And he said, I saw you that day, and you were inviting my grandchildren to church. You were inviting, my wife said she was going to church. He said, I didn't see your eyes that day. All of a sudden, I saw Christ's eyes through your eyes. And he came to church, and I preached. And he was in the back there. And he said, it was like my heart was hard, and God took that stony heart right out of me and put in me a heart of flesh. And Ralph Tolley had the assurance of salvation. He started reading his Bible. I never saw that guy before. That was a different guy. He was soft to God. He was in the Bible. He was showing me things he was getting out of the Bible. You know what they say, revival is re-Bible. That's why we need an old-time religion, King James Bible revival, Ben. And you young guys, you stick with that word of God. And you stick with the old standards. And let's not forget the old time power, the Pentecostal power. That's the power of God that we need today. And may you gain ground and hold it by the Lord's promise, by the Lord's provision throughout the book of Acts, and by the Lord's prayer for it in Luke 11. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed tonight. It is no secret.